He wouldn't go with anybody if he didn't have Christian principles and standards for his life. If it meant everybody else went to that big event with her. Now, like I say, we'd cry together. And we'd pray together that God would just be faithful to her. And it doesn't, I'm not saying that your kids won't ever have a date, because Ruthie coming along now, it's a different story with her. She's 17. And she's dating more than Susan did when Susan was in high school. So each, God knows what each one of those children needs. And he can be trusted. And you can just encourage him along to believe him. And let me tell you, that Susan, she'll stand on any soapbox and tell the girls, hang on, girls, what God's getting ready for you is better than anything you could settle for. Because she thinks she got Mr. It. And I'm pretty convinced of that, too. The Lord has given her a wonderful man to be a part of his life. And he was the sort, if she'd gotten sidetracked back along the way, he wouldn't have been interested in her. God knew what he was doing. But that's the power of intercession. See, I wasn't able, doing the best I knew, to even know what her problem was. But he did. And you know, God does such a beautiful job in situations like that. As we go to him and trust him. When Susan is married now, but about 4 years ago, Susan was working with the Home Mission Board in Texas. And one day, this card came in the mail. It was a beautiful card. And my heart just kind of leaped. I thought, oh, that's the prettiest card. Too bad she stuck it in the wrong envelope. Because you see, on the front of the card, it said, to my best friend. And I opened it up inside, and it was just one of those heart jerkers, you know. And at the end, it says, Mother, you'll never know what it means to me. But you're not only my mother, but you're my best friend. My thoughts went immediately back to junior high days, when Mother was botching it up, coming and going, the best she knew how. But God was able to build a bridge. And that has been one of the sweetest relationships. As a matter of fact, Ruthie coming along has said, Mother, I want you to be my best friend just like you are Susan's. Because she could see what that has meant to both Susan and I, and she wanted to get in on it. And so the Lord is continuing to give me that same precious relationship with daughter number two. Not because I'm anything. I messed up. But he knew. Now, Ruthie has benefited from the mistakes I made with Susan. And the principle of when you see a problem developing, going to God, seeing that problem as a window, asking him to show you why those things are happening. I've asked him to make me sit still with Ruthie as she came along, and then John is behind. We have a 9-year-old, a 17-year-old, a 24-year-old, a 26-year-old, and a 27-year-old. And I have one grandchild, grandson, and I'm waiting on the other one, hoping it'll get here before I leave, before the retreat's over, so I can see it before I go home. It will be in Texas. But anyway, as I have seen attitudes cropping up in the other children, when something would become more and more dominant, a bad attitude, I've been able to say, now, Lord, why is she acting like that? This is intercession. A part of it. There's more to intercession. And he has been able to show me why every Thursday she got sick and didn't want to go to school. On Thursday, I began to see a pattern setting in, and every Thursday, she just didn't feel like going to school. This was when she was down in third or fourth grade, I don't remember which. But to illustrate, by picking up on it early, we were able to prevent a big, bad problem. God put it in my mind to ask her a question when she wasn't talking about her tummy ache. I asked her one day on Wednesday, what do you do tomorrow, Ruthie, in school? God put it in my mind to ask what happened on Thursday. She didn't know that it was, you know, well, anyway. Well, on Thursday was the day that the art teacher came. And I can't ever do anything that looks good. But I don't even like to see her come in the door. And before she knew it, she had just painted the picture of what the problem was. Now, my next thing is, Lord, what do you do? Because I was the same way about art. Now, Lord, help me to know what to say to this child, because I can totally sympathize with her. And he was able. But you see, I'd have just, but now, this is a bunch of foolishness. You know, come on, you're going to school, or I would have pampered her and all this. You know, we try everything when we don't know what's in their heart. But when we can go to God, and He knows what's in their heart, and He can show us how to minister, how to be a part of answering our prayer, it's not a waste of time to get up early in the morning. Praise Him, love Him, let Him know how grateful you are. So much you want to make Him happy, so much that you're willing to let Him change anything in your life He's not pleased with. And then you can go to Him on behalf of others, and He can guide you how to be His channel. That's so exciting to me, that I can be God's channel to reach out and touch inside of somebody. Well, you'll find that if you do not have a plan for intercession, you might want to look at the 2959 plan. As a matter of fact, when we come back in after break, I'm going to have them scattered all around, and I want you to have one where you can look at it. You know, and then afterwards, if you want it, somebody will take your money. But if you don't, just leave it on the seat. But this can be very helpful in giving you guidance in your quiet time. And this primarily deals with intercession. And they have just recently, some of you have had the 959 and then the 2959. Well, this one, the latest book that they put them both together, and there's a Bible study in the front, as well as the prayer guide in the back. So I'd like for us to take a break. And this is what I want you to do on break time. You've been so cooperative. I just cannot thank you enough for how cooperative you've been. I'm going to ask you to do something a little hard, but I'll appreciate you cooperating with this, because I believe that the Lord put a suggestion in my mind, and I want you to benefit from what He's got in mind. Okay? Would you find somebody you do not know and take the break time with them? Maybe they got to go to the y'all go to the bathroom together and get a drink of water together, but get acquainted with somebody you do not know. And then come back in and share prayer requests that you will write down. And maybe it'll be somebody from another community and you'd like to exchange addresses. I don't know. What might develop as a result of this. But I want you to share at least two requests that you will commit, that the other will commit themselves to trusting God to do. Okay? Now, let's see. I'm like you. I don't know whether that's the thumb of the little finger there that's so big. Now, it's taken us all morning, and we haven't done the fifth of these five things. Do not dare let that get you discouraged and say, my heavens, I'd never, if that's a plan for a daily prayer time, I'll have to quit doing everything else and just devote myself to prayer. No, we have deliberately stretched it out and gotten into it and thought about it and talked about it. But you must not. Let me see. Feel like it's a burdensome thing that's going to take up too much of your time. The Lord is wise. He will not. He will not even have you praying more than you should. He'll not even get your praying out of balance. And that's wonderful to know, that he doesn't call on us to do more of any one thing than he will give us wisdom and strength and time to do. The problem is we get our priorities all messed up. But I see there was one thing I wanted to mention. While I'm thinking about it, I better mention it, because I had not written it down any place. But I trust that every last one of you are convinced that it's essential, if you're ever to have a meaningful life, for you to have a time that is committed specifically to spending with the God who designed your life. Okay. You need a specific time and a specific place, or you'll waste an awful lot of time in the mornings getting all your stuff together. You could be right into the Word and praying if you had. They're just a lot of little practical things. Have a special place and a special time. Now, remember, I told you about those days when I drew circles and got in a circle. There was, to confess my sin, there was one thing that kept coming up year after year when I drew that circle. I would have to confess an inconsistent quiet time. Well, that was so frustrating to me. Terribly frustrating. I was convinced that was the only way. And what's more, that's what I wanted to do. Well, finally I had it worked out where I did have a place. And I did have a time. And I was, felt pretty good about it. But then, the next year, we were having a revival. And what had happened, everybody was getting blessed but Johnny. Well, I couldn't stand that. You know, everybody was just buzzing about, oh, the Lord is really doing great things in their life, and this is what he's told them. Well, he hadn't told me a thing. And the whole week had gone through, and it was Saturday morning, and I was getting left behind, and I didn't like it. And I said to my husband, I said, honey, you're just going to have to keep the kids this morning and let me go to your office and see if I can't find out what's wrong. Well, when I did, of all things, the Lord put his finger on an inconsistent quiet time. Well, I've been frustrated with myself all these other years. Well, I kid you not, I was thoroughly frustrated with God that morning. because I said, Lord, you know that it is my desire, and the only time I do not have a consistent quiet time is when somebody else from the outside interrupts. Maybe it's a phone call, maybe it's a caller or somebody else. But there was that finger. Well, in my frustration, I did listen after giving all my good explanation, and I was told, well, Johnny, if you cannot be sure of an unbroken quiet time, then you're just going to, in the schedule that you have, you're just going to have a longer day. I knew very good and well he didn't mean that it'd have to be later. Because by then I was so bushed anyway, I could hardly find my way to the bed at night. There was a new baby after 8 years of not having a baby at our house. And so it could only mean me getting up earlier in the morning. Well, at that time, our income was so close. That's when I learned the secret of praying up and down the grocery aisles. And I sure am glad I did. It comes in good today. But I said, by then I was so determined that it didn't matter what it took, nothing was going to rob me of the peace between me and God that I was doing what pleased him. And I said, Lord, you know we don't have an alarm clock, but that's all right. I'm going to take what I have to out of the grocery money, and I'm going down right now, and I'm going to see that nothing is going to hinder me. Well, I went down, and as ironic as it was, the next morning, I would see blaring in the pages, Walgreens alarm clocks for sale, $2.98, and I had to pay $5 for mine. But you know, there was just a quiet peace in my heart. I knew I was down, finally getting down to business, really. Whatever it took. And so it was wonderful how the Lord fed us that week and $5 short, but I was so excited. I want to tell you before we get off of the price I had to pay. You will not probably have any problem buying an alarm clock like I did. Most likely have one, and if you don't, it probably will not be such a drastic stretch of your budget to buy one. But I'll tell you something. It will cost you anything that important. The devil is not going to allow you to just very conveniently get established in your quiet time. It's going to cost you something. I kid you not. So when something comes up that makes it look like it's just too hard, there's just no way, just hang in there. There is a way. And God will show you how. But that shows you how vital it is for the devil to give you so much static about it. So hang in. But let me tell you, I just knew that glory was going to come down the next morning at 5 o'clock when I proved to God how serious I was. I really couldn't wait to see what he was going to do that morning. Well, the truth was, I hadn't been sitting there very long before I went promptly to sleep. And the truth is that the same thing happened the next morning and the next morning. Well, by the next morning, I was wondering where that finger was that had always bugged me. daughter. So I asked him about that. My Lord, you know what's happening every morning. I'm getting up, but I'm going to sleep. And that's when he showed me something that is so important. He says, Johnny, I'm more concerned with your obedience than your performance. He's much more concerned with our obedience than our ability to perform. And when we hang in there in obedience, you see, it wasn't very long before my body made the adjustment that it needed. And I was able to stay awake. And I was able to have a precious time with him in the mornings. Now, we're supposed to be into petition, but I felt that the Lord wanted me to share that with you, so because it's so easy for us to get just slightly diverted from those things that are vital. And we accept all the excuses that Satan floods our minds with that causes us the freedom to justify. But let me tell you, you just be sensitive enough to know that anything that he gives you so much static about, my husband says, that's just a scarecrow to keep you out of God's good corn. So let the scarecrows be a sign to you. There's something good God's got there that the devil's trying to keep you from. Okay, we shared and praised and thanked and confessed. And I trust you met. Did you all find your partner? And you now have requests that you're going to pray for that one in the days ahead. Then there is petition. That's all I knew anything about for so long. That's our prayers for ourselves. The only thing, the prayers I prayed for myself were different than the ones I'm going to share with you this morning. Before I get into the things that I feel like he wants me to share, let me tell you that God is interested when you need a new dress. And he is interested when you need a new car. And he does care what style your hair is. That just came to mind because I remember the hours I used to spend in the beauty parlor. Well, I had it all worked out, and I had a peace about it at that time because I had it figured that's when I did a certain part of my lesson preparation for Sunday school. And that was fine, and the Lord never convicted me at that time about it, but there came a time in my life where the Lord got ready for me to change my hairstyle. And I kid you not, it was important. It was important because it meant so much to my husband and my children. Now, this is not to say that everybody has the same situation, and everybody's supposed to that has children the ages of mine should wear their hair like I wear mine. Now, I don't mean that. You know I don't mean that. But it was just important to them, and it's become a freedom to me. And I know God led me to get my hair cut in a way that I could take care of it in the shower and blow dry it and take off running. And then it didn't matter when my hair appointment was if the family wanted to go to the beach or if they wanted to do something that I always had to just watch them do if it didn't fit in right. But anyway, that's just to show you that God does care about all those things. And he does. It is important to him. And don't get the idea. Don't ever make the mistake that you pray about
things that are important enough to pray about and you leave the other things undone. Long ago, I learned to, when I had something coming up that I needed, that I really needed something for, I could ask the Lord. And you know how He is so practical even in His giving. I never will forget, a woman called me one day and said, "Johnny, what size shoe do you wear?" And I told her, and she says, "Well, I did the craziest thing the other day. I went and bought a pair of shoes I thought was so pretty. But they weren't even my shoe size." She says, "What size do you wear?" I says, "It doesn't matter what size those shoes are. God knew I was trusting Him for a pair of shoes. They'll fit whatever size they are." And they did. God had her buy me a pair of shoes. My size, not hers. I needed that. I did not have a closet full of shoes, and I just wanted one of the latest styles or something. I needed a pair of shoes. I was going someplace, and I would not have been a credit to Him in the shoes I had. So it was important to His glory. I have a new pair of shoes. And I'm so grateful that I learned that. And you know, one of His provisions for me right now, there's a lady in our church that He put it on her heart to sew for me. Now, I do not know what she's making, when she's making, what style she's making, or when she's going to get it finished. But He does. And almost everything I wear is something that she made. What I had on last night, she made the top and she made the jumper. I got these two on sale, so she didn't have to make these. But it is amazing. Now, it isn't, like, there have been times I could not afford to buy a dress when I needed it. Well, we could manage for me to buy a dress now if I needed it. But God knows right now that I have better use for my time than all the time it takes to shop. So He's just as interested in providing the time I need. And see what a loving Father He is. He's interested in everything about us. And that's what one part of petitioning is going to Him with the needs you have and trusting Him. And if you find a desire in your heart, give it to Him, and He'll either change the desire or He will grant that desire. You give Him the desires as well as the needs, and He'll either change the desire or He'll give it to you. Because He promised to give us the desires of our heart. A lot of those need working on. And that's what He'll do if He needs to. But He'll give us the desires of our heart. But what I really think, well, it's almost time. I don't think I'm going to get into what I really think the Lord wants me to share with you. We'll do that after lunch. But I'll just tell you what we're going to do. You remember last night I shared with you how God revealed a heart full of resentment and fear. Primarily, there were other things, but those were the two basic motivating forces that were driving me. And so after I acknowledged those things, and after He cleansed and forgave me, and I became aware of the truth that all of Him lived in me, one of my first prayers was, "Now, Lord, I'm still living in the same situation. You haven't changed that. Same circumstances. Now, how am I going to react to the very same things in love and free of fear in faith. And that's what I want to share with you when we come back after lunch. How he can change those things inside of us that are responsible for the problems that we're undergoing right now. And he can.